But in Revelation chapter 13, I want you to notice with me, as I read the first 9 verses of the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. John said, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear." We have the description here of the beast or of the Antichrist. You have heard me say from time to time that there is a Trinity. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But there is also a satanic trinity. There is the devil, who is anti-God. There is the beast here, who is the antichrist. There is the false prophet that is read of in this passage of Scripture here in the latter part of Revelation 13. He is the anti-spirit. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are always in agreement, in unison, in doing and carrying on the mighty works that have been ordained before the foundation of the world. But we find that the satanic trinity is also at work. Even today they are at work, but yet they shall be fully manifested and revealed during the time of tribulation. I said last Sunday night, we are not in the tribulation period. Now, what I believe and what I believe that the Bible teaches is that we refer to ourselves as pre-tribulationists, meaning that before God begins the 7 years tribulation period, that all of the saved will be raptured out or taken out of this world before the judgment of God's wrath comes and God begins to pour out His wrath upon this world. So we know that pre just means before, that we will be taken out before the beginning of the tribulation period. I do not want to give too much attention, but I do want to give the amount of attention that is needed to the Antichrist, that the Word of God gives to him, so that we can be warned and we can see the awful person that he is and how he is described here in Revelation 13. He is a very powerful person. We must remember, though, that he is not more powerful than God, and he is not more powerful than the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is not more powerful than God the Holy Spirit. But when you read of him here in Revelation 13, when you read of him in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when you read of him in Daniel chapter 7, when you read of him in Daniel chapter 9, you will see that he is a very, very powerful person that will accomplish God's purpose for the time that God has appointed for him to accomplish that purpose. And that will be known as the tribulation. Now, I believe that it is defined in the Word of God that the tribulation is known sometimes as a week, which really is speaking of 7 years. We know that the whole 7 years will be tribulation. We realize that the first 3.5 years will be organizing, getting it all set up, and all ready. And then we realize that in the midst of the week, Daniel talks of this in the 9th chapter, in the midst of the week, then there will be the full revealing of the Antichrist, or he will reveal himself as really the person that he is. Before that latter 3.5 years, he has deceived people. The devil is the greatest deceiver there is. The devil has his preachers. The devil has his churches, and they're not called the devil's preachers nor the devil's churches either. Because that would not, when you go out and you say, well, they belong to the devil's church, well, that's not deceiving nobody. That's telling you exactly what it is. And that is warning us exactly to stay away from it and to have nothing to do with it or no part of it. But then when they are the devil's churches, but they have the Lord's name, or they use the name of the Lord, then that is being very deceptive. I don't believe we'll realize the full impact of that until the Lord stands there one day when they say, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? Have we not done these miracles, and have we not cast out demons and all of these things? And then Jesus is going to say to these, he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Today it's hard for people to decipher that, or to discern, and not to be deceived. And I think many times that even we, to a certain degree, are deceived by some of the false religions that the devil has in the world today. And sometimes how we're deceived is we say, well, that's a good person. They are good people. But the deception of it is that they do not have the Holy Spirit. They have a spirit, but he is not the Holy Spirit. He is the anti-spirit. And he is the spirit of Antichrist. And he is the spirit of the devil, which now already worketh. Already at work. Was already at work in the days of Paul. If he was at work in the days of Paul, think with me how surely he's at work today. But we find, and we talk a little bit last Sunday night about the two persons of the tribulation, and we saw there in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, 26, and especially in verse 27, we saw that there was one person that was mentioned there, Messiah the Prince, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. What I tried to emphasize and show to you, look how people today will reject Christ, even as the Jews reject Christ. He came under his own, and his own received him not. And Jesus said, there is one that shall come, that you will receive him in his name. And he was talking about the Antichrist. You think today how that many religionists today reject Christ, but they follow the Antichrist who is in the name of Christ, or deceiving them. And so the first person was Messiah the Prince, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the second person of the tribulation was the Prince that shall come. Not that the Messiah the Prince, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Prince that shall come. Now, the spirit of Antichrist already prevails and is already at work. But there is going to be, during this time, a real person a person that people are able to see and they're able to put their eyes upon and they're able to listen to Him and to hear what He says and to see what that He does. I realize and know that there's a tremendous difference between Messiah the Prince and the Prince that shall come. The thing that's going to happen is that He has made a covenant or an agreement. I often think about this 7-year period, and the Bible speaks of it as a time of Jacob's trouble. Primarily it'll be with dealing with the Jews. And it seems as though the hardest people today to do anything with, and the hardest people today, it seems for the world to deceive, is the Jews. And they are a very stern people, a very forward people, a people that is bent on doing what they believe that God would have them to do. But they are going to form a covenant with this person. I thought about what is going to take place, and I read a little bit of it here in this Revelation 13. Now, what is going to happen? Look at the latter part of this 13th chapter of Revelation. He that leadeth into captivity in verse 10 shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Now, I believe that what we read, there is going to be tribulation saints. There's going to be people in the tribulation that are tribulation saints. Because it's clearly, how we clearly know that is, there are some that is going to receive the Antichrist, but there's some that's not going to receive the Antichrist. Now, we're not going to be given the opportunity to receive the Antichrist. How thankful I am for that. But now, notice here with me. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now look. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. And the devil is a powerful being, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. Now, who does the Holy Spirit lead us to worship or cause us to worship? Jesus Christ. But this is an anti-spirit, and we're talking about worshiping the Antichrist. The first beast is the Antichrist. Now look, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, now look, whose deadly wound was healed. Now what's going to happen to the Antichrist is he's going to be slain, he's going to be buried, and he's going to resurrect. Now why is he going to do that? Because Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He was crucified and he was buried and rose again the third day. See, he's going to be following the same steps. Now look, in verse 13. And he doeth great wonders. And I believe that many people minimize the power and the influence and the work of the Holy Spirit. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, none of us would be saved. He is the one that quickens us. He is the one that draws us. He is the one that brings us to Christ. He is the one that points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at the power of this anti-spirit. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Some people say seeing is believing. Said, if I can see it, I'll believe it. I can see it and I still won't believe it. Do you think the devil has any less power today to perform things and do things that some people say
that are happening and do happen?
I believe he does. But he does it in the name of religion. He does it through religious people. And then everybody thinks it's not of the devil.
See, there's some things that are contrary to Scripture. Divine healers are contrary to Scripture. But they have power. Now, where does their power come from? If you're what you're doing is contrary to the Word of God, it's not the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't have time to go into this, all these spirits, but there's a lot in here. And he says you're in this. He maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now look. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. And these people are deceived today by people that claim they're performing miracles. They are doing a type of miracle, I believe. I believe they have power to do it. But it's not God. And it's not the Holy Spirit. You know, people are afraid to say what I'm saying. And that's why you got so many religious cults running around today. And people will not speak out. And he says, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now you all think about what this is saying. Here is an image. And this anti-spirit, this false prophet here, has the power to give life to the image of this beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. The devil don't have any trouble getting his children to serve him. They're his. They're in bondage to him. They don't know nothing else, and they don't do nothing else. Now look. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, are in their foreheads. It's going to be right there every time that I think of this often. You know, we're getting this thing really down pat now. You know, I think of it every time I go through the grocery store and I go zip, 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 zip. And you know, now these credit cards are really getting super light, super. You know, you just slide them down through there or run them through, and I think there's a lot that happens there when that takes place. But look, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now what is that number? Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And what's going to either be stamped here or on this hand is going to be 666. And that means that you'll be able to buy and sell, and without it you won't be able to buy and sell. And this isn't all that takes place or happens, and I believe because those that will not bow down, and first of all, to worship. That's where it begins. That will not worship the beast, they shall be killed. And there's going to be some that we see here that are not going to worship the beast. The Lord is going to have some of His saints during this tribulation. Now, how this all comes about is that Israel has accepted the Antichrist. And Daniel 9:27 speaks of the covenant or the agreement that they have made with him. And they said, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And that is Israel that he's talking about, or the Jewish nation.
The hardest people on the face of the earth today to deal with is the Jews. You don't push them around.
I'm always, the last few administrations we've had, I always laugh every time they stick somebody on a plane and send them over to straighten out Israel. You know, they put them on there and they're going over, and I would really like to be in on and listen to what's said. As to how they say it to them, and then they say back to them what they need to say. And I remember very well one time coming out of Israel and going through customs, and I just made a slight remark. And I said this to one in the line in customs. I said to one of the officers, I said, "I really like this country." He said, "If you like it, stay." I mean, he didn't cut no bones about it. I mean, he was blunt. And I believe that that is in general the way that Israel is, or God's people is. And it's not easy to deceive them today. And it's not easy to lead them astray today. Now, I realize they're human, but they're God's people. I know that they're God's chosen nation, or God's chosen people. He has used them, He has used them, and He shall use them. And even through this, He shall use them. Now, they have accepted the Antichrist as a nation now. Now, remember, as a nation, they have made a covenant with Him. For what it says here in verse 27, "And He shall confirm the covenant with many." And that is as a nation. And the way that He deceives them is He pretends to be the Messiah, the Christ, their Savior, and their Deliverer. Now, here's how it is. When Jesus Christ came and they rejected Him, what were they really looking for? Now, think with me. They weren't looking for what we're looking for. We're looking for a man, Jesus Christ, to go to Calvary and die for our sins. But what were they looking for? They were looking for Him to sit on the throne and to rule and to reign. They were looking for one that would be over their economy, that would be over their army, that would be over their religion. That's who they were looking for, and they're still looking for that. And they've been blinded in part until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And so, you can see how easy it will be to deceive the nation of Israel, because they're still looking for the Messiah. God in His marvelous, wonderful power has blessed us as a nation. We have a bounty. Every time that I think of the price of food and of rent and of housing and of gasoline in Israel, I say, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm not in Israel." And I think of the bounty and the blessing that God has given us. And there are many countries today throughout the world that are financially strained, and inflation is higher than it's ever been known at any other time. And it's hard for them to survive. And all of this is according to God's plan to get them ready to receive this deceiver, the Antichrist. He has deceived them. Now, at the middle of the week, after 3.5 years, He began to reveal His true character. I read this to you the last time, Matthew 24:21. It's hard to understand what Jesus said in Matthew 24 if you don't get the trip, if you don't divide off those scriptures and get the verses that talk about the tribulation. There are verses in Matthew 24 that is not talking about the day in which that we live. And sometimes people confuse and they expect these things to happen during the days in which we live, but they're not going to. They're going to happen during the tribulation period. And you remember these verses that I read to you the last time, and starting with verse 21. Now you've got to back up here to verse 15 to get the prophecy. And it names the prophet. It names Daniel the prophet. And he says, "And when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place." Now I realize that there was a man by the name of Eutychus Epiphanes. I just about lost what I read in some of that. There was a time that he desecrated the temple. But he was not the Antichrist. And he didn't declare himself, or he didn't do what is written here. He desecrated the temple by offering a hog, a swine. He desecrated the temple. Now you don't, Jews don't fool with hogs. It was right humorous in a way. We were eating one night in one of the hotels, and Brother Garner or some of them said, "Boy, these pork chops sure are good." And I said, "Pork chops? When did a hog ever go, bah?" And it does not. Now, but he's talking about Daniel the prophet, and he said, "Whoso readeth, let him understand." But then in verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation." Now there is going to be tribulation the first 3.5 years, but it is going to be a time of deception. What there is going to be during that time, there is going to be the forming, and I believe, I mentioned this last Sunday night, this is already being set up to a certain degree as to where that many people, the nations of the world, will fall into it. And you hear every day, you hear about the common market, and you'll hear about the European market, and you hear about all of these signing up and all these doing this, and they're wanting one world currency. They're wanting one language. They're wanting, you know, to go to the one world measurements and all of this. And it's forming a one world government, a one world religion, a one world economy, a one world currency. And that's exactly what's going to take place during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And what's going to deceive the Jews like everybody else is he is going to promise these things and tell them that he can do it. And it is probably going to be amazing as the power and what that he does do. But then at the midst of the week or the middle of the week, that's where verse 21 comes in. Because that abomination of desolation is when he stands up and declares himself as God. And that'll take 3.5 years to actually come to the place to where it'll happen. And then, as you say, add the next 3.5 years, everything's going to break loose. Because what he says in verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." And you go on here and you read some of the things and how terrible that it's going to be. You think sometimes we've got it bad. It's not going to be nothing compared to what this great tribulation is going to be. For look what it says here in verse 22. Now I know that God has the elect in His hand. But look what it says. "And except those days should be shortened." Now this is what it says. "There should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake," that is, those during that tribulation time, "those days shall be shortened." And it's going to last 42 months, or it's going to last 3.5 years, or whatever that it is. It's going to last that period of time.
But what we find is, now the Jews come to realize that we have been following the wrong person. We have been following the wrong Christ. We're not following Messiah the Prince. We're not following the Lord Jesus Christ. We're following the Antichrist.
And it's sort of going to be like, woe is me. You realize, you know how you feel when you've been deceived. Have you ever been deceived? Every one of us to a degree have been deceived somewhere or other by somebody or something, or by a company or by something, you know, through false advertisement, various things. We've been deceived and we think, you know, and then how do you feel? Well, this is exactly what is going to take place. And so there in Daniel 9:27 it says, "And for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation." And what has been permitted to happen by the grace of God, they have been permitted to rebuild a temple and to do sacrifice worship, which is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he causes the Jewish worship to cease, for in Daniel 12:11, in the 12th chapter of Daniel, and verse 11, he says this, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up." That's right here, Matthew 24:15, and Daniel 9. "And the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. He installs an image of the beast in the temple, and then will only Israel recognize their price." And only then. But it's too late. It's not too late as far as God is concerned. We know that. It's never too late with God. But sometimes we get ourselves into things that we're a mess. And this is exactly what is going to happen here. Now what is going to happen? The Antichrist will declare war on the Jews. For in Daniel chapter 7, if you'll notice this, in the 7th chapter of Daniel, and there in verse 25 of the 7th chapter of Daniel, notice of what is going to take place and what is going to happen here in this. And I believe, and you'll notice, it says here in verse 25, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High." Now the Jews know who the Most High is. They know Him as Jehovah, God. They know Him as Yahweh. "And shall," notice, "and shall" what? "And shall wear out" who? "The saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." So the whole idea is to put down the people of God and to blaspheme the God of heaven. This is the whole purpose. And then the Jews are fully going to recognize, and they're going to sort of say, "Woe is me," or "Woe is us." For look, again, as I read in Revelation 13, verse 5 through 7. And notice this. Did you know the devil is already having a heyday? I looked at one of these books they're going to be teaching at Christian school. And it starts out in the first of it as teaching about God's world. Anybody around here believe that? God's world. You know, we've been brainwashed. The problem is we've sat and taken it. We don't have to do that. Never have had to. Now look, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies." You know what one of the most blasphemous things there is today is? That God did not create the heavens and the earth. That's one of the most blasphemous things. It just popped into existence. It evolved. That's one of the most blasphemous things there is. The majority of the framers of our Constitution, even as unsaved men, would believe that God created the heavens and the earth. But we go back several years to that. And notice. Now I want you to look at this. We're in this verse 5. There was given. Underline the word given. There was given. He didn't have it. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And then if you'll notice, verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and then look who he's mad at. Hallelujah. And them that dwell in heaven. That's where I'm going to be and where you're going to be. See, he's mad at us. We've escaped him. We're in heaven. I reckon so. We've been raptured out. See, that's where we're going to be. We're going to be in heaven while this is going on earth. And it was given unto him to make war with saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. And then it clarifies that. Here's the ones that's going to worship him. Those who God did not write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. You won't be able to get one that was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world to worship him. He has power, but not that kind of power. Because that would be greater power than God. And how that he goes on. And he talks about the patience of the saints. And so the Antichrist. And so what's going to happen? The Jews are going to flee. They're going to say, look what we have gotten ourselves into. What are we going to do? We're going to have to go somewhere. And we're going to have to do something. Many believe that this is where they will flee into the place called Petra. That God has a sheltering place for them. And he talks about this. And he gives us a little insight on this. If you'll go over, if you'll look in that 12th chapter. And if you look in the 13th through the 17th verse, it says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast on the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. It's Israel. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. That is God enabling his people now, as they cried out when they were in the Egyptian bondage, to God, and God's going to give them wings to where they're going to, and we know that he's going to enable them to flee. And notice, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. He thinks that he can drown her or he can kill them, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth kept the woman. That is Israel. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The old devil says, I'll get them. And as they're rushing and as they're going into the mountains, he puts a flood out of his mouth. But then God opens the earth and swallows the water, the flood. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. And this is what leads up to, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. The remnant. Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. These are tribulation saints that keep the commandments of God and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. But look in verse 16 also. Of Matthew 24. Go back to Matthew 24. And notice with me in this passage of Scripture, and there in the 16th verse. When he identifies by Daniel the prophet, what he said in Daniel 9:27, he said in verse 16, "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house." Now, he's talking about the tribulation time. He ain't talking about now or the coming of the Lord, but he's talking tribulation time. "Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes." He says it's a terrible time. It's a time for you to flee for your lives. And he said, "And woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. But look, but pray that your flight be not in winter." Notice, "neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be." The devil's going to try to drown them with a flood. The Mississippi's nothing compared to what is going to be taking place or what's going to be happening.